Hour number three of 3D here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Whew, we're at Fitness 1440, working out during every break.
Oh, boy.
Keeping up our look here on 3D.
Nice job.
Which is good. I mean, it's a good look. And we got a lot of things to choose from. They've got a lot of free weights, which, you know, I was bulking up, giving out tickets to the gun show during the break.
Right. Which means you didn't give out many.
What do you say?
The ceiling is the roof.
Okay. So maybe I didn't fool anybody. We're at Fitness 1440 here at 411 Metroplex Drive. If you do want to come here and be out of breath and be in shape, you can do that. $14.40 if you come here today and sign up. They're celebrating their one-year anniversary. Plus, if you come in here and say you heard this about Fitness 1440 on The Game, you're the 27th person, they will give you a six-month membership for free. We head east. We bring in our man Vince Ferrara from WNML in Knoxville. Vinny, how you doing? How was your weekend?
I am good, gentlemen. It was fine. Sunday was a little more relaxing, doing some NFL and lots of drama and things to digest from Saturday as well. But a fun day in college football overall. Hope you guys had a great weekend, too.
Did you believe me at the beginning of the show that I was working out during the breaks?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. I'll see where this interview is going. Okay. Butch Jones was at the podium today. I was trying to read some stuff as we had loaded lines pretty much the entire show to this point, talking about some of the stuff on Sunday. But a couple calls on the UT game, and Butch Jones passing on to Evan Berry will not be ready to play against Georgia. But here's a couple other things that jumped out at me just reading what he was saying today. To me, I told Derek and Willie during the break, this sounds like a coach that feels a lot of pressure, feels a lot of heat, and the walls starting to move his direction. When you start going after the media, you're in big trouble. And this, reading some of this stuff, and you tell me if I'm reading it wrong, where he says he believes the media is running a reality show that runs off drama. He said there's a lot of fake news out there about Shy Tuttle's injuries. Butch Jones went on to say that negativity is overwhelming right now. I mean, it went on and on and on. He's got bigger issues than worrying about what's fake news and about reality shows and drama and negativity being overwhelmed. Right now, he needs to worry about his team being better on Saturdays and better not just Saturdays, this entire season, because the first game of the season was on a Monday, and they had to scratch and claw to come back and win that. It just sounds like a guy who's really desperate, is trying to, you know, deflect things that are coming his way. Butch Jones, you beat UMass by 4 on Saturday at home, an 0-5 team. Do you think people are supposed to be excited?
Well, Butch Jones is, if he's one thing, he's consistent, because he has always worried about the outside and what people are writing and reporting. Even when they've had success, he's aware, he worries about what people are saying because he feels like it impacts recruiting. So he's kind of commented about that kind of stuff, maybe not as direct as he did today, where he almost escaped through that press conference without kind of adding to the criticism he takes. But then on that last question is when he, you know, had went through and sort of pointed it back at the media. Look, this doesn't have anything to do with the media. The media has not created a firestorm or fabricated negativity that now the fans are just following along. The fans are the ones that are frustrated. The media is a part of it. Just like when things are going well, the media is the outlet between the team and the fans. From a positive standpoint, it helps get the message out. The media is there in between the fans and the team when the message is coming the other way. And clearly the message is not only coming the other way, but it's coming the other way back towards the team with more volatility and greater numbers. So maybe he just doesn't realize that it's the fans' frustration. It's not the media brainwashing the fans to not like him or be negative towards the program. So it's just unfortunate that kind of stuff does not help him, because right now people are paying attention to all of his words, all of his messages, and right now wins is the best way to fix it. There was extra tension in there, there's no doubt, and UT's trying to protect things and trying to limit the damage, and I guess they're trying to do it through the media back to the fans, but it is getting more tense for sure at Tennessee.
If I ask you what is the most important position in football, your answer is what?
Quarterback.
How would you assess the quarterback play right now at Tennessee through these games?
Below average.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a huge problem with the most important position in football. Their quarterback play is average to below average. Right now, Garantano, he hasn't had a full game, so we don't know a full body of work. It's just we've had a little snippets in a couple of games, but he hasn't, you know, he hasn't impressed anybody. But like I said, we haven't seen him with a full body of work. Dormady is average. I think his ceiling is average. A couple times he'll wow you with a couple of throws, but overall, he's average to below average. How do you think you can have a successful season? And if your defense isn't lights out, how are they going to make this work this season?
Well, they can't, and not with great success, not with success that will cancel out that the frustration of the fan base. It won't happen unless the quarterback play picks up. And, you know, Butch Jones today, when asked about the quarterbacks numerous times, he said that's lower on the list of things that we need to worry about. And maybe that's a sign that there are bigger things going on there that everyone's not even seeing. Well, I don't know if that's exactly what he meant, but that, to me, the quarterback position can fix a lot of things. And his response was, look, the quarterback is a byproduct of the players around him. I don't agree with that. Yes, there are times where the receivers, if they're running the wrong routes and timing, and you know, if the blocking isn't right in front of you, you don't have time to get rid of the football, things like that. Yes, other positions can impact the quarterback, there's no doubt. But a really good quarterback can cancel out some of your deficiencies as well. Just like I think John Kelly, who is a fantastic running back, I think he cancels out some of the other issues they have on the offensive line and with their play calling. He's good enough to overcome that. The problem is he can't carry this team on his own. So the quarterback play needs to be better. Quentin Dormady throws off his back foot a lot. He feels pressure on a three-man rush when there's no one in his face and he bails out of the pocket. There are times where he doesn't make the right decision in the zone read, which I don't understand them continuing this zone read, which adds an extra defender in the box and makes them predictable. Defenses are not worried about him running for 4 or 5 yards on occasion. They'll take that all day if they can crash in. You know, UMass had 12 tackles for loss in the game. UMass! 12 tackles for loss, too many negative plays, and a lot of that is because, to me, with that the slow developing zone read, when your quarterback's not a threat, it's an issue. And he's just not mobile enough to do that, but I don't know that they have answers right now with that. Look, he's made some good throws at times as well, but he needs a perfect pocket and step into his throws, and it just hasn't been the problem. And then with Jared Garantano, look, the kid's talented. He had a drop with Brandon Johnson. Who knows?
Right in his hands. Right in his hands.
Yeah, and who knows if maybe that gets Garantano going and feeling good, and that changes the type of quarterback he is, if with that confidence, maybe leads into a touchdown. Now you have something to build off of, but that was a bad drop. But otherwise, he has not looked impressive against inferior competition, and that makes you wonder if he is ready to go. Now, maybe because he's a young player and he can't take over and do other things, he is more dependent on those around him. But if he can't get it done against Indiana State and UMass, it's hard to understand putting him in those situations against big-time competition unless those turnovers by Quentin Dormady continue, because he fumbled on his own re-keep. That's a 6th turnover of the year. And right now, there's enough of a gap to where you can still ride Dormady because he gives you a better chance. But at some point, they may have to put Garantano in if those turnovers continue.
Vince, just to follow up on that, I thought it was odd when they decided to go with Garantano. It's almost as if they assumed they would be way ahead, and they knew they wanted to put him in. But when they put him in, I thought they put him in a tough, tough position to where they're already nursing the lead. And I just thought for his development, for his chance, if he really was competing for a chance for more playing time, that was not an easy spot to come in there. I understand that you got to make the most of every opportunity, but I would have loved to have seen him earlier in the game. I think he would have had maybe a better chance to do well and then maybe lead to more good things happening.
No, I agree with you, Willie, and that's why this wasn't a scripted thing. They didn't plan on just inserting him in that position because in the Indiana State game, they put him in the third series. And so the game wasn't over at that point. I think they should have played him earlier as well and just mixed the two like they did in the Indiana State game and give them both a couple of opportunities against that type of opponent. But Butch Jones admitted in the postgame that they were looking for a spark, and Jared Garantano didn't give it to him. So they went back to Dormady to close the game out, which I do believe that was the right thing to do. But it was right after UMass had scored a touchdown as well, and now your offense needs to answer, and it didn't. So it was a tough spot to put him in, but they weren't getting anything done on offense, and he thought it would be a spark. I didn't think that would happen at that point, but they should have done it earlier. And this is kind of indicative of this coaching staff, is they don't do one thing when they should, and then it leads them to try to play catch-up at other times. In my comparison, the reason why I say that is because that happens with the number of players that they play. They don't play young players enough in the early part of the year. Therefore, when you need them, end of the Florida game, you can't rely on those guys, and you feel like you can't trust them to be out there. And when they get on the field, oftentimes is when they're forced to, based on the injuries that continue to mount. And then that UMass game was another example. It's their own fault later in the year when guys aren't ready to play because you didn't put an inferior team away. You couldn't play enough of your young players because you're just trying to salvage the game. Then at the end of the year, guys aren't ready when they're forced to be in real tough situations against good opponents. So this is Tennessee being its own worst enemy.
All right, more. Excuse me, I got choked up over that answer.
It's that workout. It's that workout you did.
Yeah. I need you some water, man.
Need to hydrate.
Yeah.
We'll come back. Even I can't keep a straight face. More with Vince Ferrara, WNML on the other side on 3D.
Back at you, 3D, Darren, Derek, and Donick. On the phone with us, as he is every Monday, Vince Ferrara, Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville, talking this week's game, this weekend, past weekend's game, UT's victory over UMass. It was a slight victory, but victory nonetheless.
Vince. Hey, John Kelly, real quick, Derek. John Kelly said in the post game, he said, "Hey, we got the dub, so I ain't even tripping," is how he phrased it. The fans, however, a little bit different story.
Exactly. As a player, it's like, man, as long as we walked out of that building with a W, that's all that matters. But with that being said, Larry Scott, how do you think he's doing as an offensive coordinator? Because this offense, you know, they were supposed to be not high-flying, but better than what it is. And this team hadn't been able to consistently generate any points. The passing game is so up and down and erratic. It's pathetic. And the only bright spot on that team is John Kelly. And a guy of his size, I don't know how much longer he can take the pounding throughout the season. So how do you think Larry Scott is doing as an OC this year?
I honestly expected a little bit more. I expected them to be better. Now, the quarterback play, each of the positions, if you look at the groups, quarterback play hasn't been as good as expected. The offensive line hasn't been as good as expected. The wide receiver group hasn't been as good as expected. the last two, you could say, have been impacted by injury, but you also expected them because of the talent they had at the wide receiver position and the depth they had at offensive line that they could overcome that. The play calling, obviously, in the Florida game overrides everything, because that game, as typically is the case for Tennessee, usually means so much. And they didn't get it done. And the play calling in the red zone, just there's so many things that you just, in third and short, just didn't understand how they could go away from their best player on the ground. John Kelly leads the SEC in rushing. He's second in rush attempts, so it's not like he doesn't get the ball. But some of that is getting the ball too much against inferior competition and not enough against your better teams you're playing in critical situations. The crazy thing is that John Kelly has 6 touchdowns on the year, and 5 of them are in the red zone. So when he's gotten the ball, when you do give him the ball, he gets in the end zone. He did it with a bounce to the outside in the UMass game as well. So I think there's plenty of things that you can question him on. I don't think the wide receiving group is – I think they're highly underperforming. Brandon Johnson's come along well. Marquez Callaway is explosive. He's averaging almost 25 yards a catch, but they're not getting him the ball a ton. Is that because he can't get open, or quarterback play, or whatever the case may be? So they're just not taking advantage of their playmakers enough. I thought that he would be better at this point with the offense and his play calling to this point.
Now, I know UT, Vince has, they have a lot of injuries on that team. They've had a lot of injuries throughout the course of the last 2 seasons. And that has been, you know, people point to that in regards to why this team is where they are. Butch Jones even mentioned it. We got this guy injured, this guy injured. And I understand that. I get it. But every other college team in football has injured guys that cannot play that week. If you're talking about a Power 5 team, a lot of these teams have guys that are injured. But the thing that
or suspended.
But the thing that you know, the 1% of the Power 5 teams do, the teams that consistently compete for national championship or conference championships, what they do is when they have a guy injured, 2 guys injured, 3 guys injured, a guy suspended, they've developed the guys behind them so well that when the guys have to step in, they're ready to play. That's why I'm not giving Butch Jones any slack when people say, well, he has guys injured. Well, Butch Jones has had a top 10, 15, top 5 recruiting class since he's been here. So when a guy gets injured, he should be able to develop the guys behind him that if they got to step in, they're ready to go. And he and his coaching staff haven't done that. So you can't all of a sudden say, we got injuries. Well, if you got injuries, that's an opportunity for another guy that you've been developing to step up, and they haven't.
Well, no, it's a good point, Derek. And this is why within the Tennessee fan base, there is fighting amongst the fans, because those that defend Tennessee will point out to the injuries and to, hey, it's a long season and, you know, things like that. But the fans that aren't giving Butch Jones any more of a rope point say that, hey, it's on you. You're the one that needs to develop these players. And look, everything, fans will say, it's on the players, not on the coaches. Everything goes back to the head coach and the coaching staff. All of it. Whether you have a ton of injuries and you don't have enough depth. Why don't you have enough depth? Recruiting. If you don't develop guys, well, you didn't get the right guys in recruiting. Execution. Okay, the players didn't execute. You put them in the right situation. Why didn't they execute? Well, the blame doesn't matter. The bottom line is it's responsibility of the coaches to get players to execute. That's what you do as coaches. You develop, you recruit players, you develop players, and you motivate players. And if the players didn't have the energy, which is another thing that Butch Jones pointed to in the post game, and it was obvious to us, they didn't have the energy and enthusiasm in that game. Well, that goes back to the coaching too. So I don't care what your reason for Tennessee not achieving what the fans want them to, it all goes back to the coaching and their reluctancy to play young players and trust them until they absolutely have to puts those players in tough situations. And when you have injuries and you don't have guys that have gotten enough snaps prior to that, or you don't trust them to, then you're going to get lack of execution, guys not having their assignments down, and then it has a domino effect. So I don't care what you say the reason why they're not having success, injuries or not, it all goes back to the head coach.
Vince, with that in mind, I can't disagree with what you're saying. I do think, to be fair, from the outside, they do have a lot of key players that have missed a lot of time. So with that in mind, they got the win against UMass. It was ugly. Got a big game against Georgia. How many of these guys are coming back? What about Barry? What about the tight end? For example, I heard Bob Kessling say on the broadcast, Tennessee right now, trying to nurse a four-point lead, has all three of their top tight ends unavailable right now. So what about on Saturday?
Well, but Jones, other than saying that Evan Barry would be out, he didn't say that anyone wouldn't be back. He was asked about Jason Robertson, another guy that they clearly missed on that offensive line. Didn't have Shai Tuttle in the game. He said he expects most everybody to be back. But when Butch Jones is asked about injuries, there are times where he doesn't want to disclose what they are, like was the case with Shai Tuttle. And look, I understand from their standpoint, sometimes players don't want their injury details to be put out there. So that's why coaches sometimes are selective and cover up some things, and then other things they're more open about. But Butch Jones often will say, hey, I'll know more later this week. I'll know more Monday. I'll know more later this week. So, and then some guys end up playing and some guys end up sitting out. I think it is open. But, you know, they pointed to Baylen Buchanan last week, and Butch Jones said, hey, we got some great news that he is back. He's full go. You know, he should be available. And we didn't see him. So it's hard to know where we stand with a lot of these guys. It'll just basically be game time decisions. And even if they are healthy, will the coaches play them? And if they don't play them, for what reason? They are hit with injuries at the tight end position. They haven't played Latrell Bumpus to this point. They didn't take care of business and play enough young players against Indiana State or UMass. So now you're forced to play Latrell Bumpus at the end of that UMass game. Now, if you need him as a true freshman, a talented guy that they really complimented, now you're going to be forced into him having to take some important snaps against a really good team. Now he may not be ready to go like he needs to. If you take care of the business before that, then he's better able to contribute. Offensive line, they expect to get Jason Robertson back. They moved around a number of linemen on the left side, so they're not playing great anyway, even with Jason Robertson. And then on the D-line, they just haven't played enough guys to where when guys go down, they don't have enough answers right now. So, yeah, Juwan Jennings is another interesting thing that came up in the press conference today.
Let me ask you about Juwan Jennings, because that's an example to me of, yeah, you lose one wide receiver. He's a pretty good receiver, pretty darn good receiver. But his value goes beyond just his production, don't you think? I mean, so that when you say, well, the depth, the next guy's got to step up. Well, yeah, but it's hard to lose your leader and expect no drop-off. And then you put that on top of now your top three tight ends are out. You got a quarterback situation that's a little iffy. You got a defense that is completely focused on John Kelly. And now you say, well, that's why the offense pretty much got paralyzed in the fourth quarter and really from the middle of the third quarter on, and they couldn't get a first down because – they're looking around. They just don't have any leaders other than Kelly that you have to account for the most part.
It's a factor.
It all starts with Jennings. If they had Jennings out there, I'd have felt a little better about finding a way to get a first down or two to make that a little easier.
But they haven't had a problem. Callaway was just fine in a game. Johnson was just fine. Those guys had big games.
Yeah, but you're acting like
they got no wide receiver production without Jennings. They have. Callaway has been good. Johnson was really good Saturday. Well, you're acting like, there's a drop-off. Nobody to go to now that Jennings is out of there.
Unproven.
They're so young other than Josh Smith. Everybody else, sophomores or freshmen. So, and then it moves everybody down. Now Callaway is getting some extra attention that he could be the number two and get more single coverage if Jennings was there. It impacts you. There's no doubt that that's a factor. What was discussed a little bit today that Butch Jones didn't want to get into too much, and he defended Juwan Jennings, is he was asked, why hasn't Juwan Jennings been on the sideline? And while he's been out, and I don't know that Todd Kelly Jr. was there as well. We didn't really see him. Maybe he was. But what Butch Jones explained was that it hurts him so much to not play that's why he hasn't been there. He said it's something they've discussed. I guess the players said that that's something they've talked about too, and as a group, and maybe you'll see Jennings and other guys that are injured out there. I think that's a little strange to not have one of your air-quote leaders not there trying to help his team. It's frustrating to him, but hey, you have to overcome that and try to help your team, even if you are personally frustrated. That shouldn't keep you from being on the bench. Maybe that'll change this week, but you know, leadership is much more effective when you're able to play. They've just got to get better in a lot of areas. And I do think Butch Jones feels like, hey, we clean up this couple things here and there, and some execution here and there, and we're much different. I think there's more struggles there and more issues than just, hey, we execute a block here, an assignment here, you know, then we'll be fine.
I think we'll find out a lot on Saturday. Here's another one.
By the way, that's
up.
A horse bleep answer to that question.
Well, okay, let's ask another one.
To tell us that Jennings just can't emotionally take being on the sidelines because he can't help.
Yeah, that's
got to be the weakest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's it. That's
give
a made up.
Me a
let me come
break.
Up with something. Let me come up with something.
Jeez.
So I'll come up with something.
Lame.
Let me ask you another one along those lines. This used to come up with Vince Young a lot. When Vince Young was relegated to backing up Kerry Collins on a good Titans team, when he had the checkout early in the season, Titans go 10-0 with Collins. There were a lot of games where Vince Young was the backup quarterback, but nowhere near the action. He would be sitting on the sideline, and Jeff Fisher would say, "Well, he's got his headphones on. You know, he can hear what we're talking about. He's in the conversation." A lot of people have pointed out that Garantano is usually not in the, you know, with the clipboard, with the hat on, near the play caller, near the head coach, engaged in the game. Is that a fair criticism? Oftentimes you'll see a camera shot of him just sitting on the bench with his helmet off, looking like bad body language, etc. What is the system for the backup quarterback? Is he supposed to be holding the clipboard in the traditional way that we all think?
Well, they haven't really told us that he is doing anything outside of what they expect. Now, we haven't
because the example that's brought up is he's got to be thrust into the game in that Florida game,
right?
And if he were engaged in the game more, maybe there's a better chance of him coming in, being able to execute without the. And I don't know if the false start was his fault or not, but it's just something that's being used against them because the body, it just doesn't look good from afar.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And by the way, on that Florida game and that situation when Garantano came in, to me, as a team, you have to have an answer. Either call a timeout or have another play ready to go. I went back and watched a TCU-Arkansas game, and Kenny Hill lost his helmet in the red zone against Arkansas. I think it was like the one-yard line. You know what they did? They brought in a big back, went wildcat, and he bowled his way into the end zone. They didn't have to call a timeout. They didn't have a false start. They had a play and a situation ready to go. So to me, I don't buy any of that. But yes, he has not looked, from my standpoint, in my opinion, like he has been as engaged as you'd like to see him. Maybe that's not a violation for Tennessee. Maybe they're not disappointed. But I tried to watch him from the press box of my binoculars a little bit more. I wanted to see, all right, is this fair criticism? And I would see him sitting next to Quentin Dormady, which was more than what people saw in the Georgia Tech game. And Mike Canales talking to both of them. So I don't want to say, maybe it's just when the camera shows him it's at a moment when he's not engaged. I still want to see more, but I would have expected him to be just a sponge, just trying to be there every second possible in their ear and trying to get the call and being ready to go. I don't know if I've seen it, but I gotta see more of him in those situations to really know if that's – or Mike Canales telling us, hey, he needs to be better. Yeah, we haven't really talked to him to learn that either.
Do you think that those two have a relationship at all, Vince? And do you think Garantano and Dormady have a relationship?
I think they compete. I don't think they hate each other. Just like I never really heard any of that relationship. You know, I don't know how to exactly define that, but I don't think they dislike each other.
I'll tell you what I've heard. I've heard they have a zero relationship. That's what I've heard. Those two do not speak. Dormady and Garantano.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
I know they're not going to talk about that publicly, Butch Jones or anybody on his staff, but I don't even know if it matters. I don't know. Derek, I don't know if the quarterbacks having a relationship matters or not.
I mean, you got to have. That's like saying I don't have a relationship or friendship with a receiver in the room that I'm competing with. I mean, when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, the best player is going to be out there, or the best player should be out there. And, you know, if you are not out there and you think you're the better player, I mean, you don't let that affect, you know, your relationship with that person, because it's not that person that is making a call. It's the head coach that is making the call. So it would be unfortunate if Garantano and Dormady don't have a relationship or some type of friendship, because ultimately it all falls on the guys to either go out there and compete. But if both guys have been competing and it's close, then ultimately if they're playing favorites, that falls on the head coach.
I just think it's to me, the reason I'm bringing up, it's the bigger picture, right? We've talked all day about unity and solidarity. Does that group look like a group that's together? If you have the head coach coming out and telling everybody that Juwan Jennings is not on the sidelines because he can't take not being out there, it's too emotional for him that he can't help.
But where is he? If he's not on the sideline,
you've got quarterbacks that have no relationship. To me, it's the bigger picture. It sounds like a group that's a little sideways and all over the map, and certainly their play reflects that.
Well, no, and I don't disagree with you, Darren, because the way they played against UMass, to me, that did not reflect a team with its back up against the wall and its coach being criticized heavily and them losing a critical game in devastating fashion. That didn't look like a group that is so motivated to overcome the outside noise, which they point to all the time. They didn't play that way. They played like a fragmented group that some guys, because Butch Jones even mentioned, he's like, well, you know, it's not like everybody didn't have, some guys did play with energy and enthusiasm. Well, that's not a group that's for whatever reason is either playing for their coach or has the leadership to make sure they are following along. So those signs are not good with those types of things. And as far as what you mentioned with the quarterbacks not getting along, I don't think
I didn't say it's not getting along. I said there is no relationship.
There is no relationship. Okay. Well, but if there's no relationship and they're not talking, then they're not helping each other get better. And so I think that only adds to the problem. You don't have to like everybody on your team, and Derek, you know this, but when you're in the same position and you're hoping and you're not trying to help the other guy, that doesn't help your team. It's one thing if it's a guy on defense or someone that you're not impacted with. You can hate a guy over there. He makes plays, pat him on the helmet or whatever. You don't have to talk to him or go out to dinner with him. But when it's your own position and you can impact one another to help your team, I think that's an issue.
Vince, good stuff. It's going to be very interesting to see how this Georgia game plays out on Saturday. They're going to be on the big stage like Vanderbilt was here, CBS stage, national television right there at Neyland Stadium, Tennessee and Georgia. Should be a fun one. We'll certainly have a lot to discuss next week. Thanks for doing this. Have a good week.
All right. Yeah, I think Georgia's a real deal. It's going to be fun and interesting.
Boy, are they
ever. Appreciate you guys having me.
Yep. They have looked very good. That was an impressive win over Mississippi State. Vince Ferrara, WNML in Knoxville. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up the third hour of 3D. That's next. Back here on 3D, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Darren, Derek, and Donick with you. We're here live at Fitness 1440, 411 Metroplex Drive. We're having a lot of fun here. Got free weights, personal trainers. In fact, I was looking at their board here in the lobby when you walk in tonight. They've got power yoga at 6 o'clock. They've got Zumba at 7 o'clock. Classes and, oh, by the way, child care from 4 until 8 p.m. every night, Monday through Friday. So, obviously, a lot of people come from work to pick up their kids. And I want to get a workout in before they go home. You can do that here. They have the child care and the classes for and dance fitness at 3 o'clock, which I think D-Mace is going to do after the show.
Oh, so yeah.
That'd be great. He loves to dance.
Got to get my dance on.
There's a story that's been brought to our attention. Of course, TMZ Sports is where we saw it first. But Jesse James Decker, who is Eric Decker's wife, who sang the national anthem on the first game of the season against Oakland.
Uh-huh.
On Instagram, if you are involved in social media, she was putting out there that she said, and I quote, "My husband was not made aware it was time to go out for the game. Unfortunately, a decision was made for him without him knowing." She also posted a long message on Instagram explaining why she loves the national anthem. And Eric Decker put out on social media, "Preach, baby," talking about his wife's comments. Mm-hmm. So she put out there that she said basically, essentially, it was BS that they all agreed not to go out there. She's saying the decision was made for him.
Well, here's the situation, and this is the tough situation that I think that I'm in right now to try to, you know, talk about this. But basically, you guys, your listeners, you know me. I'm just gonna shoot from the hip. But do it in a respectful manner. Here's her words. Eric Decker did not want to be a part of the Tennessee Titans national anthem demonstration on Sunday. The team made a decision without him knowing, so says his wife, Jesse James Decker. Here's the thing. That's a message that Eric Decker should have put out, not his wife. Now you look, I'm not saying you are, now you look like a coward. Because you told your wife you didn't know anything about this, which I'm not saying you did or you didn't. I don't know. But you told your wife you didn't know anything about it. So instead of you saying something, because you had your opportunity to say something after the game, a mic was in your face, and I'm sure they asked you about it. Now, I haven't seen anything, you know, across social media or in the paper or anything that says Eric Decker said something contrary to what his teammates were saying. It might be out there. I haven't heard it. I haven't seen it. So if someone's seen it, please tweet at me or put it out there so I will be better informed. But from what I've seen, there's nothing out there that has said that Eric Decker was hoodwinked into thinking that, you know, he should stay inside or he didn't know anything about the, you know, the protest that was going on, the decision that was made to stay in the locker room. Well, if he didn't know, he had his opportunity to say it when Mike got in his face, because he was asked about it, knowing that his wife sung the national anthem the last home game, their first home game against Oakland. He didn't say anything about it. So if he didn't say anything about it, why get your wife to say something about it? To me, the guys are looking at it. They won't say anything to him. The team might not say anything to him. But they're thinking like, wow, dude, seriously? You have your wife speaking for you on this matter? This is something you should have put out on your own. This is something you should have said, not your wife. Was he hoodwinked? Did he not know? I don't know. But to me, and only me, now I'm not saying this is how you guys feel, but to me, if he felt that he was being taken advantage of, Eric Decker is almost 30 years old, if not 30 years old. He could speak up for himself, because he still, by his wife's words, put himself in an awkward position. If it comes for Eric Decker, the guys can deal with it because he's in a locker room with us. It came from him. We okay. But when it comes from somebody outside the locker room, we have a problem. You remember Grimes, his wife?
Oh, remember it well.
Exactly. And that was one reason why he you know, why they let him go in Miami.
Said, yeah, that's the end of Brent Grimes in
exactly.
Miami.
Exactly. Absolutely. So you can't have – that can't happen. It just can't.
Do you think
– I know it's great that he stood by his wife because, I mean, heck, if my wife at the time put out something, I would – even if I didn't like it, hey, I'm standing behind her. You know, I got to go in the house with her, so I got to stand behind her. But I think, you know, Marcy would have been – she would have thought about it further ahead and said, you know what, this jeopardized, you know – what's going on in our house? This puts a strain on my husband's relationship inside that locker room. I'm not touching it. That's not for me to touch. I'm the sounding board for when he doesn't like something at work. It's not for me to then go preach it to the world. I'm his sounding board. I'm his protection. I don't. What he tells me, I can't go and tell everybody else.
Well, we know everybody's wife. They know they're privy to information that
exactly.
not everybody else is privy to. And so if... That's kind of the – everybody knows it's the unwritten rule, right? You don't air what's going on.
Giselle with the concussions?
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Right, right. It's because we know then it then puts the husband in a very, very awkward position.
That's like something if we talk about something or somebody says something and we all talk about it in confidence. And then one of us go out and say something, and it's like, dude, this you could at least talked about it before yeah. you know things went on. This is our
well,
bond
now,
right here.
Now Eric Decker probably is going to need to come out and make a statement.
Exactly.
Explain, because he's almost in a no-win situation.
Yeah.
Right. Because as you said,
he's got to back his wife, but then he's got the organization, his teammates.
The team's statement is the team wanted to be. Unified. I'll guarantee you that not all 53 guys have the exact same viewpoint on how to handle the situation, but they decided as a team mm-hmm. that this is what they were going to do. It's like we said with the guy from Pittsburgh. He stepped out of among the other 52. He went his own way. That's I don't know how that's going to go over in the Pittsburgh locker room, mm-hmm. but that was his choice. And now this comes out. Now, keep in mind, for those that don't know, right, Eric Decker's wife is a country music singer. There's probably some pretty opinionated people in that world of how that goes over with that audience.
Is that maybe, why she did it?
I don't know. I'm just bringing it up.
Is that why
not
she did it?
Not that whole audience feels the same way about the situation, too, but I'm sure there's...
Because we've seen what happened to the Dixie Chicks when they said something about, you know, President Bush at the time. So is that why she came out? And I want to make sure, I want y'all to know, my husband didn't have anything to do with it. He wasn't with this. Could be.
Well, it's maybe not wasn't with this. It's not like he stood up and said no and reluctantly did it. She's saying that it's being presented that everybody agreed, hey, let's all stay in here, where she's saying the decision was made for him. That he didn't,
How about saying nothing?
Say.
How about saying nothing?
Exactly.
Well, of course. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Once you do that, now you've put him in a really, really awkward position. Because Derek, right? He's got to say something.
Yeah.
Even if it's not publicly, he's got to say something behind closed doors.
Well, no. He's going to have to say something publicly. Because now the media here is going to ask
him. How is he going to say something publicly? Because he's either going to say,
he has
my wife was telling the truth.
Have to.
Or my wife wasn't telling the truth.
He doesn't
either way,
have
you're not
to.
Gonna win.
Yeah, you're right.
If you say something publicly, how does he win in that situation?
I think here's what if I'm a PR person.
You're gonna make either the organization mad or your home life mad.
I think all you have to do and this I would say release a statement. You don't even have to go out and answer questions on it. Just say, hey, I went with what my team wanted to do. I did what my team decided we were going to do as a group. End of story. I think that's all he has to say.
But then saying what your wife said.
You're saying you're contradicting what she said.
You just explain why you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there.
Well, you are saying
right.
Now he started up a brush fire at home.
Exactly.
Hey, how we arrived at that decision is none of y'all's business. All right? We decided as a team that's what we're going to do. I did it. That's it.
You're
got to end it right there.
You're making it very
that's all you can do.
Simple.
That's all you can do. That's all he can do at this point.
Yeah, you're right.
Otherwise, he's going to get the doghouse with one one or the other.
Well, listen, I guess he'd rather be in a doghouse with his boys than his girl. I think any guy would choose that.
I got to be honest. I don't know how you make a statement, because make a statement, you're going to hurt. You're going to upset one side.
Okay, I just gave you the statement. How are you going to upset one side with that? I decided to do what decided as a group to do.
You're contradicting what your wife just said on social media. That's not what she said.
Because your wife just said Eric did not want to be a part of the Tennessee Titans anthem demonstration.
You're saying just the opposite.
He didn't want to be the part of it. And yeah, and if you come out like that, you're saying, well, I did.
But you're saying without saying it, maybe he didn't really – that's not what he would have chosen to do, but – if that's what the team wanted, I'm with the team.
Right.
I think that's what
you
that's
just
all he
did.
Said
the, hey, everything's good. Okay, there you go. Everybody, nothing to see here.
He did the willy.
I got news for you. There's something to see here.
No, he did the willy.
Right. It's like, oh, no, that's no big deal. Just put this out there and everything's okay. Wrong. Wrong.
Give me, of the choices that he has.
I don't know what you say, Willie.
The choice.
You say nothing?
You can't.
So he's going to say nothing? He's just going to say nothing.
I don't know.
How do you say something?
Exactly.
Well, maybe that's the other choice, is just say nothing. But if you're going to say something, went with the team.
Have I not just said that for the last 10 minutes?
I did what my team as a group decided to do.
But then your wife just said he did not want to be a part of the national anthem's demonstration. Maybe
that could be true. But he still did what his team decided as a group to do.
But they hoodwinked him and didn't tell him it was time for the go out for the national.
That's your words. That's what I would say. Those are your words, not mine. I don't know what happened behind the closed door.
They told the players to stick around. Fresh pizza was coming in right before the game. So they just thought they were going to eat hot dogs and pizza.
Just sit down.
Hey, we got some cake and ice cream coming in.
Hold on. The doors are jammed. Everybody, the doors are jammed.
All right, we'll come back.
Takahashi is holding the doors.
No. Don't bring him into this. Yeah. Now he's going to have to make a statement.
I love Tak. That's my guy. Oh, man.
Fourth and final hour of 3D next.